You are listening to Excuse the News, a McGill Daily and CKUT News collaboration. This week, we're talking about the current state of trans rights in Quebec, what McGill University and Canada's only gay and bisexual fraternity are up to for the upcoming school year, and how some bikers feel about the most recent critical mass demonstration. First off, Gabrielle Bouchard, the Peer Support and Trans Advocacy Program Coordinator for the Center for Gender Advocacy, explains what Bill 35 means for the trans community.
So my name is Gabrielle Bouchard, and I'm the Peer Support and Trans Advocacy Coordinator at the Center for Gender Advocacy. We're affiliated with Concordia.
I asked Gabrielle to break it down for those of us who may not know as much about trans rights, exactly what Bill 35 means in Quebec.
Sure. So we're going to talk about trans rights, especially trans rights in Quebec, and about Bill 35, which is a bill that was proposed last year and that has a chance to change trans life for the better in Quebec. So Bill 35 is this bill that was proposed first a year and a half ago by the Liberals under Bill 70. So it was called Bill 70. Then there was the elections, and the PQ re-proposed this bill. What this bill wanted to do was to address one very important thing for trans rights, which is to remove the obligation to publish in a local paper someone's name change with their address. We wanted also to remove the obligation to have any gender marker change published in the official gazette. Because as of today, if somebody wants to do a name change, they have to publish their name, you know, so I'm going from, you know, Bob to Margaret or Josephine to Robert. They would have to publish that in a local paper with their address. That's law in Quebec. You have to do this. So Bill 35 wanted to address that point and, you know, remove that from the law. Also, every sex change is published in the official gazette. So if somebody go and dig there, they can actually find everybody who had their sex change in there, which is awful, right? But that's what it is. So the Bill 35 wanted to address that. I think when they made the law, the law is not bad in itself, but it's very, very, very 1800s. So when you had small communities, you had people who wanted to change their name. For example, I think that one of the best example would be somebody who's called William and is always called Will or Bill, and has been called Bill their whole life. But every time that they have something legal to go through, they have to go through William. Can be embarrassing, can be problematic. So people change their name, and advising, you know, telling the community that somebody changed their name and giving them a chance to change or to, you know, to talk about it, that was good back in 1800s. So nowadays, not something that is necessary, really. And it's especially not necessary when we're talking about trans issues. Because if you're going from a male name or a female name to the other, or what seems as the other gender, and you give your address, then we get into a very, very dangerous place. Because you can have people who think that trans people are not nice or freaks or whatever, and then they can actually go knock on their door. So that's, for trans people, that's actually a security issue. But it just wasn't thought of when they, you know, when they had this law. And now that's why they want to fix it. They see that it's problematic, right? So luckily it hasn't happened. I'm actually glad that I can say that it never happened. It would be sad if I would have to say, yes, people were beat up, or, you know, people had their window broken or stuff like that because of their name change.
Groups like the Center for Gender Advocacy have been hard at work to participate in the changing of the legislation.
See, that's what we've been working on with Bill 35 for the last, since the spring. So what we did is a whole bunch of organizations, health professional, a trans group, have been arguing and presenting in Quebec at the Commission on Institution to say, this bill is nice, thank you very much, you're avoiding people to getting beat up, now you need to go further. So we actually proposed some amendments to the bill to make sure that it would actually go as far as it has to go. So three things were proposed in the bill. a whole bunch of groups proposed the same thing. We said surgical requirements and medical requirements have to be removed from the law. Right now, somebody who wants to get, you know, their gender marker change has to go through surgery. In the case of a trans woman, she has to get a vaginoplasty. And in the case of trans men, he has to get his reproductive organs removed from his body. Just kind of silly and not very nice. And that's the only path that people can take to get legal recognition. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that you need to be of legal age. So you need to be 18. That's also problematic, very problematic, because what we're asking people is to go through high school. To the listener, high school, remember high school, how difficult it can be. We're asking them to go with a lived identity, either male or female, but with a legal identity that doesn't match. And then they're left to the mercy of principal and teachers and janitors and all those people to maybe be nice enough to recognize them for who they are. The third thing in the law is that you need to be a Canadian citizen. Now, that we're the only province who actually ask for this. There's no other province who ask for this. And so you can have surgery, you can be, you know, 18 and over. But if you're not a Canadian citizen, then you're not going to have a gender marker change. Now, that's problematic, especially if you know how difficult it is to get Canadian citizenship. And even if you're a permanent resident, even if you make Quebec your place, your home, it doesn't matter for the Quebec government. You're not getting your gender marker changed. So we proposed those three modifications. The center was part of it. Yeah. So the center was part of it. But there was quite a few people who actually presented. So we had never before seen coalition. We had the CPATH, which is the Canadian Professional Association for Trans Health. We had all group, trans group in Quebec. So Aztec, US, ATQ, which is a French group also, Le Conseil Québécois, LGBT, and also the Association for Psychiatric Doctors, who also said those rules must go. So all of those people together, and then some LGBT also, if you're an LGBT organization, all those people actually either presented or sent letter saying these needs to be changed. And we were all on the same page. Sadly, it didn't pass, or at least it was put on hold. Trans rights and trans identities is about self. It's about your ability to be who you are, who you want to be, without having systemic, legal, and social barriers put in front of you. So I think that the main thing that people can do is first try to understand. And if they don't necessarily understand, they don't have the time, it's too much for them, at least don't put barrier in for people. It's a question of respecting people's identity and people's life. If you have a friend that, I'll go back to William and Bill, right? If your friend says, you know, their name is Bill, you will not say, really, can I see your piece of ID? Because I think your name is William and that's what I want to use, right? We respect people's choice as, you know, in our daily life. We do it all the time. For trans realities, the only thing we're asking is that you push this a little further and understand that even if you don't understand someone's reality, you still have to respect it and respect their life and their choices. There's a few things that they can do. The first one is we have a GoFundMe campaign that will give us the money necessary to be able to take legal actions. Why we want to go the legal way, or why we need to go the legal way, well, first of all, is because it's not going to happen in Parliament. We've seen that in April, and we're seeing it now. And every legislation in the world, and I'm not even kidding, every legislation in the world who were brought in front of Human Rights Commission or were brought to court because of trans issue or trans right, every legislation lost. Every trans people who went to court for this won. So people need to understand that it's not about their understanding of trans reality, but it's about people's empowerment and for them to be able to do their own life. And that it doesn't matter if you don't understand, it will happen. If you start from this point, you understand that it will happen, and then you either give money or you share a link, or just like you go Google and you actually try to inform yourself, you will be a better human at the end. And you will help trans cause.
Now we hear some stories from Delta Lambda Phi, McGill University's only fraternity that seeks membership from men who identify as gay, bisexual, or progressive. This year was the first year they participated in Montreal Pride.
Hello, my name is Chris. I'm a member of Delta Lambda Phi, and I am part of the Zeta class, which was inaugurated in fall 2012.
Hello, I'm Nicholas. I am also part of the same fraternity, and we're part of the Beta Omega chapter at Montreal, at McGill, and I've been a brother since last April. I think around 1% of the population is part of a sorority or fraternity in total.
I asked Chris, what is the appeal in joining a fraternity at McGill?
Well, personally, I got involved with the fraternity because I thought it was just sort of a very excellent social group. I really enjoyed all the brothers' company. The fact that I was extended a bid shows, I guess, they were excited to have me in their company as well. And I just really enjoyed the atmosphere. This is more of a social community where a lot of the queer organizations on campus are very political.
Delta Lambda Phi is the oldest fraternity of its kind, with its roots based in America.
So there are other fraternities that have a focus towards self-identified gay and bisexual men. Of course, we also outreach to self-identified progressive men, which includes people of all sexual orientations, provided that they're allied with our cause of advancing LGBT rights.
I grew up in a city where I have never even pictured say two guys holding hands, because I've never seen it or no one talked about it in the way that they talk about love in just in general, like you talk about anything else. You also have those people that are not very in touch with trying to be empathic or trying to be as open about it. I think everyone has their own opinions, and I think one of the better ways to do it the first step is to get informed. And one of the best ways is to come to our fraternity. I'm not making a promotion, but it's really, Queer McGill also, I've learned a lot from just being there, sitting in one meeting.
McGill's Beta Omega chapter of fraternity Delta Lambda Phi made history by participating in Montreal Pride this year. This was the first time that any university fraternity has participated in Montreal Pride, an annual LGBTQA festival.
Oh, this was actually my first Pride ever, because I was not allowed anywhere near the homosexuals with my very conservative parents. So going to Pride for the first time and marching in it was just an amazing experience. I knew from, you know, the beginning of the year that I wanted to be in Pride in August. A lot of other people did as well for their own reasons, and we were very, very happy to participate. It was really amazing just seeing not only so many people in the parade. It was kind of unfortunate. We didn't get to watch much of it because we were right at the end. And when you're in the parade, it's kind of hard to watch all the people. But the amount of supporters on the sides was just amazing. All the way from Guy to basically Barrie. Just throngs of people coming out to support and cheering. And it was really a magical experience.
Delta Lambda Phi, another queer organization on McGill campus, explains why they choose to deviate more from politics and focus more on social events.
Well, it's not so much that we want it to be more. It's that we need them to complement each other. Because, I mean, politics are very important, and that's how we get change accomplished. But we can't focus on them all the time. I think it's really important to have a good balance between that and more of a social aspect. And also, I mean, this is just sort of my personal theory, that one of the reasons that the gay rights movement has come so far in the very, very short period that it has is because everyone knows gay people. Everyone has a friend who's gay or a relative. And, you know, having an organization like this helps knit together both a chosen family and represents us in a positive way to the rest of the world, and helps people who may not have traditionally been our allies to become acquainted with us and hopefully understand that we're doing the right thing. I mean, I think that a lot of the political movements have always been very focused on how different we are and how differently that we may be treated. And of course, trying to make sure that we're not treated differently. But in doing that, of course, you highlight the many ways that there's disparities in our treatment. And I think that a more social focus is very important in more of a societal integration sense, in that, yes, we are in some ways different, but in almost all respects, we're very much like everyone else in society, and we're just part of that big mosaic of society.
Chris has mentioned a lot of resources, but at the same time, for example, McGill Mental Health. I personally went there. I had a mixed reaction because it did help me that I had a really good person that was a therapist that would help me with personal issues. But then when it came to sort of the aspect of getting sort of comfortable with the whole idea of just liking a person from the same sex, it then it becomes tricky because then you really need someone that's prepared for that. I luckily had someone that was prepared for that, but I had to change my therapist because I didn't feel that the first therapist was very, that it was like a pre-interview. And I thought it was very, they were very, very conclusive in their opinions, and they were very strongly oriented into telling you what to do. So sometimes I do think that they can tweak something, but my therapist, the other one that I actually got, she was amazing. And I think that there are people that are amazing, but I do think that McGill Mental Health should have some sort of stronger presence in the sense of someone that's actually specialized in those issues. Just, you know what, this world has space for many, many ideas and many ways of becoming involved and trying to make it a more equal and better place. So I do think that besides the fraternity also, there are, and Queer McGill, there are ways you can do it.
Critical Mass, a collective bike ride held in cities across the world, took to the rainy streets this past Friday for its monthly, quote, rolling celebration of urban cycling. Tensions were high due to both the arrests and fines at July's Critical Mass event and the heavy police presence at this month's event. The ride was declared illegal by the Service de Police de la Ville de Montréal, SPVM, at 6 p.m., as soon as cyclists took off from Square Phillips. Cyclists moved through the downtown area, heading east before finally dispersing at the Fulham and Hochelaga intersection. Despite police taking the cyclists on motorbikes and cars, no arrests were made, and the ride remained peaceful. Hannah Basso, coordinating news editor of the McGill Daily, talks to Nellie Breyer, a cyclist and participant of Critical Mass.
I prefer always, if you speak about the mass criticism, I'm just a participant of it. Because I think it's really bad what's happened in the city right now by the police, because they take a power of just decide when a manifestation is okay or not. And I find it so really bad. I'm a cyclist, and you know, I think mass criticism is, much people are Anglophone from Montreal doing that from many years ago. Mm-hmm. And I saw what's happened in the media, and I found myself, oh, I need to go there. We need to be much, because they need to understand that intimidation doesn't work. We want to keep our right to make that kind of manifestation. And I think right now much Francophone are inside, and so it's much people, I hope much people gonna come today. I have the impression is a profilist.
Like profiling?
Yeah, profilage. I don't know how to say that in English. Profiling, because of the grève of the students. Yeah, I think they find it's some people are involved in the Red Square or something like that, and maybe they don't have any tolerance because of that. Critical masses are existing from 15, 20 years, so I think it's really bad. I don't want to play that game. If I play that game, that's going to work. Mm-hmm. So it's why I force myself to be there. Maybe that's going to serve the cause. I don't know. But I hope not. I hope the SPVM understands and keep that peace and don't do nothing. Don't do the same thing than
happened last month.
Yeah. I think it's a problem in Montreal, and I hope the people are going. We're going to be in election really soon, and I hope the les élus, the people are the elected people,
the elected people, yeah.
need to be in that
mindset,
debate. Yeah, and they need to speak about that.
Thank you for tuning in to this edition of Excuse the News. For more information, please check out ckut.ca or mcgilldaily.com.